This is a verse toward the end, close to the end, Ayah 129, verse 129 in Surah An-Nisa. It says, you will never be able to do perfect justice between wives, even if it is your ardent desire. So do not incline too much to one of them. In other words, by giving her more of your time or of your provision, so as to leave the other one hanging. Kind of like she's not really divorced, but not really married. You can't do that. And if you do justice and do all that is right in fear of Allah by keeping away from what is wrong, then Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. But if they separate by divorce, Allah will provide abundance for every one of them from His bounty. Allah is ever all-sufficient for His creatures, their needs. He is all-wise. And to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and earth. And verily, He has recommended to the people of the book before you and to you Muslims that you fear Allah, keep your duty to Him. But if you disbelieve, then unto Allah belongs all that's in the heavens, all that's in the earth, and Allah is ever rich, free from any wants or desires, worthy of all praise. So, and he continues, he said, unto Allah belongs to what is in the heavens and the earth, and Allah is ever sufficient as a disposer of affairs. If He wills, He can take you away, O people, and bring others. And Allah is ever all potent over that. For sure, this is a sign for us. I mean, He's made some heavy statements right after this, telling you He's the owner of everything. He's the creator of everything. And then saying it again. So this is not something small when He talks to you about how you treat each other. Very, very important for Muslims to have the right treatment for each other. If you fear you cannot treat them with justice, then marry only one. And by the way, although it's not the order to have only one, because there are conditions when it's beneficial, really, in a family, not to divorce a wife simply because she can't have children, but rather to have another. Not divorce a woman because she's now, you know, mentally incapable or she's physically incapable, because it could happen. You still need a wife, but you don't want to leave this lady because she's in a horrible condition. So you can keep her as a wife and have another. There are many conditions that come up like this. And it's certainly something in Islam, because there's a beautiful statement, which, by the way, we never came to. It's worthy, that statement is, the Quran is worthy of a whole program. More. This happens to be verse 34 in the very same surah. I will read it to you, not give you the program, but just let you think about this verse in relation to what we're just talking about. Arjilu. The men are protectors and maintainers of women because Allah made one of them excel over the other and because they spend of their support from their means. Therefore, the righteous women are devoutly obedient to Allah and their husbands, and they guard in their husband's absence what Allah has ordered them to guard, which is their chastity, their husband's property, the children, etc. As to those women on whose part you see illicit ill conduct. The word in Arabic is nushuza. Nushuza means something bizarre, really, really out of character. Because the example in the Arabic is like you're looking at a flat plane and all of a sudden there's a monolith or a huge obstruction there in the way. You say, what is this? This is out of character. This is wrong. Doesn't belong in the picture. And here it's talking about bad conduct, illicit conduct, or even things that could lead to sex and things like that. It says, admonish them, leave their beds, and wadribuhuna, but if they return to obedience, seek not against them means of annoyance. Surely Allah is ever most high, most great. I want to mention to you that this is the verse in the Quran, out of the 6,327 verses of the Quran, that shows that women are to be protected and maintained by men. That men have a responsibility as a janitor, as a custodian as a security guard to take care of that lady while she is being elevated up like a queen in the rule of the roost. She has a high position in the home, and certainly the husband has to respect his wife, but he's the imam of his house, but she is the imam of the children, because she's called an. And comes from the same root as imam. And she is the And this is continual where his imamship ends as soon as he says, Salaam alaikum, salaam alaikum. So the woman has a high status as imam in Islam without having to stand in front of the people and give a khutbah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And that's the subject of another khutbah. So we'll leave it go with that. I do want to mention wadribuhuna does not mean that you can beat your wives. In another program you'll have a chance to hear about this. That in fact it can mean to go back to having sex with them. Daraba can also be going back to having sex with them. Also it can be mean shocking them with what you're saying. Because Allah says in the Quran, Alam tara kayfa daraballahu mithla. Have you not thought how Allah sets forth for you a parable about a kalima tayyiba or a tree which is tayyiba, and this has nothing to do with hitting you with some words or hitting you with a tree. It just means Allah is hitting you with an idea or striking for you a parable, and that's what it means. So this, in this case, does not give permission to men to beat their wives. Even though we have seen some explanation of Quran say things like this, it's not acceptable. Because there's no evidence from the Sunnah for this. There's no evidence from the Hadith for this. And the only ones who defend such a position are those who don't mind seeing women be oppressed. Or they think it's okay to beat women, and it's not okay. There are clear evidences from Rasulullah ﷺ and Hadith saying, do not beat your wives. The best of you to your wives, the best of you are the best to your wives, and I'm the best to my wives. This is his saying. So this is not really permissible to use as an excuse to say that men can take a whip and start beating their wives. Oh, I saw one translation of the Quran that somebody said you could scourge them. Scourge means to beat them so much you knock their skin off. Yes, that's how bad, and that's in Yusuf Ali's old translation. That's how seriously bad it can get. And I recommend for all the Muslims to consider this before you try to give translation to anything, and go to the responsible scholars. That's what I did. I spoke to the scholars of Egypt, from Saudi Arabia, Sudan, and Pakistan. Top scholars from these areas. Oh, and Maghrib. None of them said it's okay to beat your wife based on this verse. They said it doesn't carry this connotation, and they should have taqwa for Allah, fear Allah, in this and in all that we do. We're going to wrap it up with that. You've been listening to Islam Always. We always hope you'll visit our website at islamalways.com, where we're always open 24 hours a day and always plenty of free parking. If I say the word always enough, I hope I brainwash you and you'll just like have tattooed on your brain, islamalways.com. Till next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.